I ask you to stand as you are able. If it's difficult to stand, then just put your hand over your heart. In the letter of Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, the word of the most holy God says this: "For this reason," that is, the reason was that he had heard of their love. "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk about prayer, but we're not going to be talking about prayers of salvation. The main thing that we should pray for those who do not yet know Christ, is that they would come to know Christ. That should be first and foremost in our prayers for them. But we're going to talk today about prayer for the saints and praying for the saints. Now, okay, well, for those of you 50 and older, now you get it. The prayer for the saints. Because we are supposed to pray for one another. And pray for one another without ceasing. And how can we possibly do the work of God if we don't lift each other up in prayer? One of the most important things that we do on Sunday morning is our time at the altar. It's so important that we do as the Bible instructed, that we anoint and we lay hands on and we pray. But when we pray for people, we tend to stick to kind of two things. We tend to pray for their physical health, for safety, and you know, a lot of what we pray for is for people who are sick, who are going through difficulties like that. And we pray a lot about people's finances because, you know, people, how many times have we prayed here as somebody lost their job, or you know, they had something come up that was catastrophically expensive, and we pray about that. But you know, that's not what we pray for every day. What we're supposed to pray for every day, according to the scripture that we just read, is we need to pray that the saints will have wisdom. We need to pray that the saints have wisdom. That first of all, they have knowledge of God's will. And then they know how to apply that knowledge at the right time, in the right place, and in the right way. One of the things that I am still learning is just because you know something, you don't have to say it. And sometimes there's a place for silence. Sometimes that's the wisest course. But we need to pray to have wisdom. Is there anybody here that would like to have less wisdom? Let me see your hand. Okay, who would like to have more wisdom? Some of you are ambivalent and don't care. And there's a few of you going, would you explain the question? We all need more wisdom. We all do. And we need to grow in our wisdom because it doesn't just come with age, folks. I've known some very wise young people and some very foolish old people. And I would think that by the time 57, well, I will be in August, I like to count it early. That way I kind of get used to it. But, you know, I'll be 57 in August, and I'd like to think that I'm wiser than I was at 37. I hope if God lets me live till I'm 67, I'm wiser than I am now. But it doesn't just happen because you had another birthday. You have to actively seek it. But, you know, in James it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. We need to pray for each other every day to have wisdom. We need to pray for each other that we're going to have a life pleasing to God. Now, what does that mean? A life pleasing to God. I pondered that. What could that mean to have a pleasing life? Well, it doesn't mean to be somebody's yes man or woman. It doesn't mean to please people. Sometimes pleasing God means you're not going to please too many people. But it means that at every moment of every day, we will be doing exactly the right thing. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine what we would accomplish if all the people who call themselves the children of God would at every moment of every day be doing exactly the right thing? A pleasing life. I yearn for a pleasing life. I would love to know that at this moment and at every moment that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, saying exactly what I'm supposed to say, being exactly where I'm supposed to be. There's a lot of freedom in that, folks. And there's an awful lot of peace. We need to pray for fruitfulness. People are way, way, way too busy. We're doing this and we're doing that, doing this and we're doing that. And we go to bed at night so exhausted we fall asleep before our head hits the pillow. And yet we say right before we close our eyes, I didn't get anything accomplished today. I'm not alone in that, am I? Okay, I'm glad, you know, some rest of y'all are paddling my boat. I mean, we have all this busyness, but we're not always productive and successful. And by the way, don't measure success the way people measure success. When I say successful, I mean back to the pleasing life. That's successful. If you do what you're supposed to do, the results are up to God. That's not success. How the world defines success and how God defines success isn't always the same thing. If you define success by things happening the way you hope they will, there is not a single prophet that has ever had a successful life, including Jesus Christ. They nailed him to a cross. It's not about everything going the way you hope it will. Although that does happen a lot of times. Things do turn out right. Sometimes. Every once in a while. When you're looking back on it. My sister Sherry says, if you want to give God a good laugh, just tell him your plan. Just tell him your plan. But we have a busy, busy, busy lifestyle. And we almost compete with each other. Have you ever noticed that when you start talking to somebody or listening in on a conversation, I'm just as bad as anybody else, you know, you start talking about what you've done today. And we always have to, you know, one-up it. And it's kind of like, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. If my to-do list has 47 check marks and your to-do list only has 32, then I win. Sometimes it's a competition just to be busy. God never called us to that. He called us to fruit. You know, he didn't say assembly line. He didn't say manufacture. You know, at the end of a manufacturing day in Detroit, I don't know how many cars have rolled off the line. He didn't say it that way. He didn't give us a manufacturing. He talked about fruit because, folks, fruit takes time. It has to be planted and cultivated, and no matter what you do, it's going to take the amount of time that it takes to be ripe. Be ready for the picking. Have fruitful lives. And fruitfulness sometimes means waiting. Pray for strength. I was telling you about Regina Shelton. I got this from her. She has said this for years. It's a great life if you don't weaken. It's a great life if you don't weaken. If we get weak, that's when the devil strikes. The devil never hits you at your strength. He don't play fair. He waits until you're physically tired, you're emotionally drained. He waits until things are bad, and that's when he shows up. We have to stay strong, because even if you don't have any struggle right now, okay, any major struggle right now, you're going to have one. You've come through some, and there's some more to come. It's just part of being in this world. There are struggles coming. And if we're going to get through that, we have to be strong in the Spirit. Think about it this way. I want you to think about boiling water. Think about life being boiling water. Now, sometimes we're like this. What happens if you put carrots, you know, stiff, crunchy carrots, and you put them in boiling water? What happens? They get softened up. They get weak, right? They're strong. They hit the boiling water, and they get weak. All right? What happens if you take a little fragile egg and put it in boiling water? It gets brittle, though. Sometimes the trials of life make people weak. Sometimes the trials of life make people brittle. They're strong, but it's not the kind of strength that we're talking about here. It's that kind of, you can't hurt me, won't let anything touch me, got a shell around me kind of strength. That's not what we're talking about. No, the best thing to put in the boiling water is coffee. Because when you put the coffee with the boiling water, they merge together to create amazing flavor. There is a merging, bringing out the best in that coffee. That's the kind of strength we need to pray for people to have. And you know, we see people in church and they have those little smiling faces. And say, how you doing? Oh, fine. Liar. Some of y'all just lying through your teeth. Because that's what's expected. You say, how are you? You're supposed to go, fine. And inside, you may be in agony. We don't know what's going on with our fellow saints. We need to pray every day for their strength. And we need to pray for people to have joy. We have a crisis in this country of anxiety disorders and depression. It's epidemic. Going up 30% a year. 30% a year. All these, you know, technological things that were supposed to make our life so much easier seem to be just adding more stress. Joy is, I like to call it our rebirth right. If you've been reborn, then it's your right to be joyful.
Amen.
It is. It's the absolute truth. Thank you. It is your right, your birthright to be joyful. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Joy is our birthright. It's the first thing a devil will steal. If he can get your joy, he's got you. We need to pray for people's joy. It's not a minor thing. Because you can have joy in the worst of circumstances. Hopefully you will have joy in the worst of circumstances. So why shouldn't you have joy just every ordinary single day? We get so tied up in everything that's wrong, we forget to look at what's right. We miss everyday joys. Well, I was at annual conference. I got to see some people I haven't seen in a while. And I saw the Brocklebanks. They were in one of my very first churches. And they have a new grandson who looks just like his daddy. And I see this beautiful laughing baby and just the smile in that picture on that baby's face gave me joy. When I see people out and, you know, they're carrying these little happy babies and you go by in the carriage and they're just so cute and wiggling, that gives me joy. And when I see the ones that they're carrying along that are screaming and howling and having a hissy fit, that gives me joy because they ain't mine. We should have joy in all circumstances. We shouldn't forget to notice all the beautiful things that God has placed around us. We're blessed. We're so blessed. But it doesn't just happen. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Say that. You have not because you ask not. We need to pray these things for ourselves and we need to pray them for our brothers and sisters in Christ. How can we be effective in ministry if we're depressed? How can we be effective in anything that we want to do if we're so busy that we can't make time? How are we going to live the beautiful life he wants to give us if we don't ever see any joy? So this is what I want you to do. I hope you took notes. I want you to pray these things for me because I want them in my life. I want you to pray for them every day. I want you to pray for me every single day and pray that God gives me joy and that God gives me strength, that God gives me wisdom, that God allows me to have a pleasing life, that I am fruitful. I want you to pray those things for me every day. I pray them for you. And I pray for you individually on your birthday. I quit sending out cards a couple of years ago because, I got too busy. So I've been having a long talk with myself about that. So everybody that hadn't got a card this year, sorry. Those of you whose birthdays are still to come, that's the plan. But I pray for you. Well, I pray for you. But see, the whole point is, I want you to know I prayed for you. I want you to know that I pray for you. So this is what you can do. You can do like I do. See this? What is that? The church calendar. What's on there besides all our meetings and birthdays? Birthdays and anniversaries. You know who I prayed for this morning? Can we read? Oh, we can't read it. No wonder you can't. No wonder you're just looking at me. I prayed for Ryan this morning. Jones. His birthday. Quarter century. And I haven't seen him in a really, really long time. And he may have special needs that I don't know anything about, but I prayed for those things that I lifted up today. I prayed for him to be wise and to have joy and strength and fruitfulness and a pleasing life. I prayed for those things today. You can pray for each other. If you don't pray for someone individually, you can't do it all the time. There's too many of them. But at least on your birthday. And if it's your anniversary, I pray for your marriage to be strong. I pray that you love each other more than the day you got married. I pray for those things. Shouldn't we all pray for those things for each other? I wonder what would happen lives of the people of this church if we would just do that every day. I understand y'all did something. This is way before I was here. It's probably, many, many years ago. John was probably here. And I understand, I love that look, John. I understand that you all had kind of like a secret path thingy. Is that right? That you all like drew a name and prayed for that person every day. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if, number one, we prayed for everybody on their birthday, but number two, you had one person that you'd pray for every day, these things. Just add them in there. What do y'all think? You want to do that? Yeah, no.
I want mine to be somebody prays.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want you to say you'll do it if you're not actually going to pray. But if you are really wanting to do this, you want to be prayed for, and you're willing to pray for somebody else, I'll take your bulletin out. And just put on your bulletin, right there where it has your name, right under it, just put, "will pray." And if you will pray, then you'll be prayed for. What do you think? Let's just let everybody do that. If you will pray, then be prayed for. Now, like I say, you can't forget it. Don't get too busy. But just pray for somebody. That way, those that are part of this will know somebody is praying for you every single day. How cool is that? You do not have to be, if you just want to be prayed for, there's some people here who are not regular people at the church. If you would like to be prayed for, we're not going to ask you to take somebody's name. But if you want to be prayed for, if you'll just put that, "I want to be prayed for," I give you my word before God, I will pray for you by name every day. If you want to be prayed for, let me know. I give you my word, I will pray for you every day. By name. Be my honor and privilege to do so. Let's pray for each other, people. Because it's a rough life, but it's a good life if you don't weaken. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.